The problem is that you still, every one of you still somehow in some parts of your life think you're going to get better. God gave you the law, and God's beginning to let the law penetrate that rebellious heart to show you that flesh forever and always is going to be sinful. You're not going to get any better. Look at me. I mean, somehow you have acquiesced to me. No matter how ridiculous that seems to anybody, you have put yourself under submission. And you give breath or attention to what I say. My life is more screwed up than any of yours. Why do you give me any importance? You must know that I don't think that I'm going to get any better. I know some of you hope that I'll get better. And still the reason is that for all this time you've only apprehended the barest portions of the trespass offering. And if you only apprehend the trespass offering, then you think that you can stop trespassing and get better. And if God in His mercy hadn't shown us through the vehicle of the offerings that there was not just a trespass offering, there was also a sin offering, then we'd have been locked in that terrible state until the end of time. We would have always been living in the illusion that we're going to get better or something different is going to happen to make our circumstances better. If you're fat, you're going to lose weight. If you're skinny, you're going to gain weight. If you're horny, you're going to get laid. If you're broke, you're going to get money. I mean, God is trying to tear through that veil of flesh to show you something new. You're sitting around, every one of you, because I know you all. Each one of you thinks that if you just endure long enough, that your circumstances are going to improve. So you've tied even the message of freedom and abandonment of self to cause and effect. You've tied endurance to reward, or endurance to understanding, or endurance or to peace. You ever and always only have two choices in life. You're either here at this instant saying, Father, I abandon myself, or crucify the son of a bitch. Crucify him. Crucify him. But that, see, that doesn't penetrate your being. I want you to visualize yourself in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. You've been following this lunatic walking around Galilee and walking around Judea, seeing things and watching them. A couple days ago, you've been, praise God, he's a neat person, he's wonderful, he's hallelujah, he's great. And you've laid out your stuff, and he's walked over it, and he's gone. 4 days. He said enough stuff and put enough circumstances in your life, so you've went from saying Hosanna to crucify him. So crucify him. Get it done with. There is no arena in your life that you're going to be judged by yourself. As long as you think you're going to be judged by yourself, then you'll continue playing these stupid games in your mind. You don't. You're never again going to be judged by yourself. Do you understand that? A little bit.
What do you mean judged by yourself? Alone, you mean?
No. By your abilities, your talents, your station in life, your circumstances, your health, your weight, your hormones. Once and for all time, get it in your head, you're never again going to be judged by yourself. Either positively or negatively. Doesn't make any difference. Does that penetrate any part of you?
We're not going to be judged on the basis of ourself. Right? Is that what you mean?
Presentation.
Self-qualities.
Merits.
You're either...
Is there anybody that doesn't understand what I just said?
Think about it in terms of a vessel.
Don't get religious on me.
Not judged by its
you mean we outer. What I caught was that we've been judged that way before. You said anymore. That's what's throwing me off. We judge by God or by each other.
Doesn't matter. Judge this small thing if I'm judged of you. I judge not even my own self. If you're still subject to other people's judgment, then you're lost anyway. I want you to leave this room tonight with a certainty, with a knowledge, with a complete assurance that you will never be judged on the basis of yourself. If anybody judges you on that basis, their judgment is ridiculous anyway. Doesn't matter. Does that penetrate any part of you?
How is that any different from when you look at us and say things like, you dumb shits, I've been with you all this time, you haven't, you know, we're still going over the basics. Whenever you decide to holler at us, how is that any different?
It isn't.
It's judgment, and it just matters if we take it or ignore it. Or you just say that to see if we'll ignore it.
As I told you for 10 years,
you can put a trip on us. We deserved it.
That's right.
I'm just checking. I'm making sure.
Making sure nothing's changing.
Yeah.
There's no thought that you can have. There's no action that you can take. There's no lack of action that you can take. There's no lack of talent. There's no lack of anything, positive or negative, upon that's perceived by the senses, that anyone from now on has any authority to judge you on. Especially yourself.
What's yourself mean?
You judging your own actions.
Oh, okay.
Nobody else can judge you because of your actions or because of what you are. You
He's got the whole
yourself.
World in his upside down head.
No. Look at that.
Either the world
That's NBA quality stuff there.
This is bigger than a basketball.
Yeah. You could be a
guard. Or a
pro basketball
player.
Be
a gynecologist.
Well, and all this is connected, it just so happens to be connected, with what we're studying.
I gotta ask the obvious question, because if one makes a statement, you aren't going to be judged on the basis of this. And the obvious is, what are we going to be judged on the basis of?
Let's go to Acts 13. Okay, Acts 13.
Is this yours?
Yeah, it's all right. John will give me another one. Being a nice fan that he is.
Verse 38.
Wait, next one?
13.
Gary, your arm's long enough to read that Bible?
I'm going to lay down on the floor.
You need glasses.
What are you talking about?
Needs longer arms.
You going to borrow my arms?
Yeah. Hold this for me.
Give him a couple extra years.
Here, I'll hold it.
Larry, it's not that funny.
Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren,
1338,
that through this man, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things. Past tense. Romans 8. He that justified, he also glorified, etc., etc. Past tense.
Yeah, you're saying this is, in the Greek, it's the past tense.
It's also past tense in the English.
Not.
By him all that believe are justified from all things.
Justified. That's a present tense.
Well, but it's a present action with a past completed action.
That's what I was saying. The Greek is past, right?
It's in the... Well, okay.
Does that mean what I think it means? Does that mean that there's nothing to be judged on other than whether or not one believes?
Right. Well, that's what I said.
Well,
we've always
said. What does believe mean then? I mean
that.
I mean, don't you yet understand? You don't, see? You don't yet understand what sin is. So if you don't understand what sin is, you don't understand the need for the sin offering. And so your apprehension of the doctrine, your understanding of the doctrine, therefore the measure of comfort and joy and peace within you is determined on the basis of your actions, because you only understand the trespass offering. You a little bit understand the trespass offering. Therefore, you only feel you need him for acts of trespass, wherever you define them. Therefore, you can't apprehend. I could preach to you for 100,000 years and you won't apprehend the sin offering, because you're still running about trying to establish your own rightness. You still don't understand that this message is the most radical message in the history of the universe. That there is no action, there is no thing, there is no situation that you can do to be right. Every one of you could go out and get PhDs. If you were concerned about education, you'd be an educated sinner. Every one of you could go around and work out all night, 24 hours a day, and get to be a good shaped sinner.
Healthy sinner.
Healthy. Well, you wouldn't be healthy because, you know, God would do something weird. And as long as you still believe that there is causative things that will happen in your life, then you have the luxury of believing that God is out to get you. And therefore, you take pleasure in that, because the fact that God is out to get you gives you a place to stand. And your perverted negative concept of self-identity. The law entered in. Or entered into your understanding. To do what?
You need the knowledge of sin.
It proves that you're a sinner. Then that is impossible to make flesh other than sinful flesh. It's the only purpose of the law. That sounds religious. And you make it sound, you make it so sincere. Oh my God, I just want to do this. Oh. I just want this. The human race becomes the world's greatest actors and actresses before God. You can become so sincere, so humble, I mean, it's obvious, just look at religious television. You want to be delivered so great. And God, all God sees is unbelief. He doesn't give a fuck. Do you understand? What?
I was just thinking about, wanting to be delivered, and it's already happened. It's like I want to get out of this sea or whatever, and I'm already out of it. I just won't accept it.
You need to be delivered from that false idea that you're not delivered yet.
Yeah.
Those who know that they are sin as Paul said, know that they are the chief of sinners. But you see, you even are successful in making that sound religious. You say, oh my God, I'm the chief of sinners, therefore make me stop doing this trespass.
Then I'll tell you the chief of sinners.
The chief of sinners would never want to stop doing a trespass.
You see, the neat thing, let me put a carrot before you again. I know you guys hate carrots before you, but in order to apprehend the peace offering, which is the next offering, which is the communal offering, which all your sustenance is provided with no effort, which is really the total grace offering. It's the apprehension of the total grace. You can't get there from here. God's the great tricker, played a trick on us. You can't get from the trespass offering to the peace offering. Therefore, no one in the religious world can understand can understand that we are under grace. No one in the religious world can understand that we don't have to be subject to cause and effect, because you have to get through the sin offering to get to the peace offering. And God, the altar, is God's table. That's where God eats. And God wants you to join Him at that table. If you don't believe me, read Leviticus 4 and 5 and see that His altar is called God's table. And God's calling you to come up. You again, to use that analogy, you've spent all this time and all this months and years, you're crawling on the floor looking for crumbs, and God's calling you to come up to the table. But you can't get there as long as you don't go through the sin offering. It's only those that can cry out, Abba, Father. And connote God as Daddy. That can enter the table. It's impossible. It's not something that's an option. It's impossible to eat with the Father without going through the sin offering. Therefore, it's impossible to have fellowship except on the basis of some type of commonality. Unfortunately, what we've had fellowship on the... Because you can't... Well, that's another story. But you can't have fellowship... Commonality just means on some kind of common identity. Common, and even physical... After the flesh body.
Ollie, as I recall, you've said many times there's nothing that you can do to merit what has already been given to us. And but what about the sin offering? Isn't that kind of going through kind of a ritualistic thing to make yourself worthy?
I have nothing to do with you. It's only those who know what they are. Sin. Can apprehend the fact that Christ was the sin offering. Therefore you see him, you apprehend him, and then you have life. As long as your mind, your stupid mind, you're running around thinking, you know, how long shall you gad about to change your ways? Can't believe that's in the Bible, but it is. Is this any of this penetrating?
I mean, there's this whole realm of stuff that I thought had a word S-I-N attached to it, but it's not that word. It's a different word that starts with T. Trespass. I don't...
I thought you were going to say teaching.
But I don't have anything... Okay, so I've shifted the words. Now I get a pretty clear picture of all this stuff.
And trespasses.
Now I know that it's called trespasses, not sin. But there's nothing under the file titled sin. I hear phrases like chief of sinners, and I go, that must mean the worst of what's in this file. But I don't know what's in that file.
It's Harry and his best.
I know, but I mean...
I guess
those things, I mean, it doesn't work.
Ourselves, I guess.
Well, that's why it doesn't work. It doesn't work because that sneaky little bastard in there is going, oh shit, I'm in deep trouble now.
I was thinking about Paul saying that he's the chief of sinners. And if we think, when we think of chief of sinners, we think of a murderer,
that's, somebody that does something.
There should be something in that file along those lines. Hitler.
Somebody who does things.
Who does things. What was Paul though? Paul was a good person. You know, he was the cream of the crop. He was hotshot, Mr. Hotshot.
Except he murdered Christians.
Steve Hotshot.
But he was
still trespassing.
The problem is, again, it's what Harry said. What we think about is chief of trespassers.
Yeah.
And I agree. I still don't know what sin means.
When I preach, and when the Holy Spirit enters your life and convicts you of actions and activities, you use that as an excuse for doubt and unbelief. Don't you understand?
Can I get it in English?
Your minds will do anything and everything to maintain their role. If I come to you and preach really hard sayings to you, and the Holy Spirit has been working in your life to convict you, then you use that as an excuse to feel bad and to have unbelief and doubt.
Yeah.
Well, that's the proof that you're the chief of sinners. If you could see it.
It's like, it says that
it still gives you identity.
Yeah, it says that the Spirit will convict of sin, and we think, we co-opt it into convict of trespass, which is not the point of it.
Well,
okay, what's sin?
Everything you do, everything you are.
Oh, that is not in a definition. That's just things that we've appended to it.
Self-seeking.
I don't understand how that's different from trespasses. It seems to me that falls into that category.
Well,
it
wouldn't
be in there.
Right now,
I don't
think.
A trespass is analogous to, like,
something you do.
Works of the flesh.
Now, look, God says the only thing you can do, you have to see that you are an evil tree. Okay? And that the only thing that you can do is produce evil fruit. That there is nothing redeemable in you. There's nothing of value in you. There is no position, there's no thing, there is wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. There is, to make a really bad analogy, there's human sperm cell going up a jackal's vagina.
That's a bad analogy.
Really.
Yeah, I don't.
That didn't come easy.
Didn't sin start at the garden? Isn't that kind of where man turned against God, disobeyed, wanted to be like God, wanted to know good and evil, and at that point of knowing good and evil, he was opposed to God because he could be God himself, and that's where sin entered in. And then when the sin offering, Christ was sacrificed for that.
Yeah, but that doesn't communicate.
But you're controlling. Is it sort of like you're a useless thing in a useless place doing a useless thing for a useless purpose?
How about dung?
Just
dung would be good. How about Sodom and Gomorrah?
From God's standpoint, though.
How about
No thing.
How about the alien?
Something repulsive to us.
The alien.
Is it more than seeing
by
what your trespass is proving, what your trespasses prove that you are?
Well, in time, trespasses can prove that you are sin. God wants to do it by revelation. God wants you to see by revelation that you are the child, the offspring of the devil. And the desires of your father is all you're capable of willing to do.
I have a question.
There is no thing that you can do. There is no, as long as, you know, if it benefits you to do good, you will do good. If it benefits you to do evil, you'll do evil. As long as the kingdom of self is advanced, Satan is happy. Then God sends along some idiot like me into your life who's been a hustler all his life, who did whatever was necessary to win, and it violates your sensibilities. It violates your sense of fairness, and therefore it proves that you don't yet know your sin.
seen, because like seeing yourself as God sees.
Right, because otherwise you can't get by. We're at a juncture that you cannot pass over. You cannot get... The only thing that, and in this walk, we must apprehend the peace offering. Otherwise you will die. You will die of starvation if you don't apprehend the peace offering. But you can't apprehend the peace offering until you go through the sin offering. You can't understand the sin offering until you know your sin. Not the things that you do are sin, but that you are sin. You know, it it tears me up to see you not seeing. I mean, and your not seeing is revealed in a thousand things that you say, in a thousand questions, and it's because I think we live, and you've grown up, and you have this language thing, you know, all of you have a cultural overlay that you've adopted, and words take on that sort of cornucopia kind of thing, where you, when a word is said to you, when I say sin, then there's all these images of that word that come into that flood your brain. And so you glob onto them, but if all of those things that come out that are the images of words, and you know, and then when I say something and you redefine it in your own terms, well, it's like,
instead of just hearing,
it's this evil one just sneaking around. And you know, it's movement, the movement of the evil one moving here and there, and it's like, you know, that's why I keep telling you, as Tom was saying over and over, that if, you know, if you don't know you're the chief of sinners, if there's still things in your life that are left to do, if there's still things that you desire and want, you know, all of those are the impediments to hearing. Because then they're just things that keep this, it's like you're on a lifeboat. You've grabbed on to, and again, that you've grabbed on to the biggest idol of all. And the biggest idol is your lifesaver. And what I said the other night, the biggest idol you have in your life is possibility thinking. You know, you've got these possibilities in your mind that are going to give you life. And the possibilities in your mind are going to give you peace. And possibilities in your mind that are going to pay your bills. And possibilities in you that are going to make you feel good. And all these possibilities in your mind are what's keeping you from seeing the sin offering. And that's why it's so rare that anybody ever apprehends the sin offering. That's why almost all of the church, the lowest part of the apprehension, is the trespass offering. That's why most of the church, the only thing they apprehend is the blood, because they're cowering under the blood sitting in Egypt. God wants us to move out at warp speed. You know, if I can come along to you and say something to you, or by a quirk of my voice, or a quirk of my eyelids or eyebrows, or say something to you that's going to put you on a trip, what the fuck do you think the world's going to do to you? God wants to say to the world, the devil and the flesh, take your best shot. He wants to say, you are strong, for you have overcome the evil one. And you do exploits. I was praying this afternoon and I wished in the spirit that there was some kind of a discipline that I could cause to take place. You know, after the flesh, some kind of thing like the disciplines that I've had to go through at various stages of my life, you know, but there isn't. Grace says there can't be. You know, and we've reached a point in this, you know, everything we've done up till now has been, from God's standpoint, you know, first, second grade. We think we're so fucking spiritual and God's laughing. And then we say we're going to open the ark, right? Can you see the possibility? Can you accept the possibility that there is no thought, no plan of action, no desire that you can have that can any of you apprehend the viability and the need for abandonment of self?
Yes.
Then why 5 minutes from now do you start thinking about stuff you have to do tomorrow?
I was thinking about that today. Why?
Then you haven't apprehended the possibility of abandonment of self. Otherwise, the instant you thought about tomorrow, you'd turn from self. You'd see that as that you haven't apprehended the sin of.
I was going over the notes, making an outline this afternoon. And I was something in there about crucifying the Son of God afresh. And you know, it was the other night when we were talking about the sin offering and the trespass offering. And I think always before, I thought that worshiping an idol or doing a trespass was crucifying the Son of God afresh. But I think that what it is wallowing in that and not seeing then the sin offering. It's because yeah, that's why it's there.
It goes,
see Christ.
It goes up higher. See, that's why it's wallowing in the trespass offering. Now we have to jump to the sin offering. Then it's wallowing in the sin offering. We have to jump to the peace offering. Then it's wallowing in the peace offering. We have to jump. We have to apprehend the fullness instantaneously to see the joy that's set before us. Now this sounds like, well, you got to do something. No, you know, you're too bright. You know, you've got too much education. You've got too many talents. You know why? You know, in Africa, there's all kinds of examples, whether you believe them or not, I don't care, but there's examples in preaching of people being raised from the dead, of these, a lot of very ignorant people becoming incredible preachers, instantly almost. Why? Because they're simple. They are the base, the offscoring of the things of the world, and they know it. You know, you've heard all the stories, you know, you've heard the stories in China of back before the communist revolution, when in the days of the early missionaries were. They literally repeated the book of Acts, where people were healed by the shadows of the evangelists, or the people that were in the village. They'd clamor just to get in their shadow. And they didn't even know the scriptures. All he knew is that if you're sick, you pray. If you, you know, whatever it was. But we are so overeducated, we are so overprotected, we have created a society in which it's in everything from every form of stimulus that comes upon you tries to promote this imagery of self. That if you do just, you know, it's like everything, if you think about it, what advertising does, it promotes the concept of trespass. I.e. in its opposite way, in that if you do this, then you'll get this. I mean, so we are into this, everything from every direction is coming at us, and all this stupid radio and television and movies, music, all of it. It's a continuum of yeah.
Isn't that why the test is greater?
I guess my prayer for you tonight would be that you would spend some time without stimulus. And you would ask God that by His Spirit He would show you yourself. That you would be, you would see yourself as God sees you. Then to see that to know that you are sin, then you will run to the sin offering. Because once you see that, then you'll stop giving any breath to the trespasses. Otherwise, you're locked into this prison. Once you apprehend the sin offering, then you can see the value of the trespass. That it's that which is the instrument of antagonism, which brings you, you know, brings you the fullness of the knowledge of Christ. It's the testing. Otherwise, you're locked. As soon as a trespass occurs, or something you perceive as a trespass, you repent. But you repent with the world's repentance. Not the repentance of God. God demands perfection. That's what blows us away. I mean it. God says, "Be ye perfect."
Perfection's already here in the offerings, you can see.
But that can be a cliche too. Are you perfect? Are you holy? Be holy. Are you without spot or wrinkle? You have a spot. See, that spot would keep me out. so did Freckle.
Do you know Freckle would keep me out of the kingdom?
Sounds funny, doesn't it? Oh no, it won't keep me out because I've accepted Jesus. As long as you continue in your self-seeking, it'll keep you out. Freckle will keep you out. A wrinkle will keep you out. Ugly will keep you out.
I just vision of being up here ne'er-do-wells and listening to all the might-have-beens and stuff, excuses.
See, we run around and we pray and pray and pray because our trespasses or what we perceive to be sin is hateful to us. We pray for relief. We pray that our circumstances would change. If you're broke, you're praying for money, and if you're... Don't you, I mean, I hate to tell you this. This is going to blow your mind. God sees that as unbelief. God sees that as a position of knowledge that you haven't accepted the sin offering. Let's go to Hebrews 10 a minute. So now, see, now the problem with me telling you that, now you're not going to pray anymore. Now you're going to try to fake it. Verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for the judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Now, how many of you sinned willfully today? Let me ask it a different way. How many of you didn't sin willfully today? So some of you have sinned, neither sinned nor didn't sin.
It's a trick question.
You mean willfully decided that you didn't want to exchange your...
I'm talking about this scripture right here.
I'm not.
Okay, I don't want to. Don't. Whatever you think it means. Good. Whatever you think that scripture means.
I willfully sin today.
Whatever you think that scripture means, you have to address it. If you give breath to this Bible. If we sin willfully after that we've received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. Again, I'll ask you, did you sin willfully today? Whatever you think it means.
No, I didn't.
You didn't. Anybody else didn't? Huh?
No, I didn't.
I'm not aware of it.
So you didn't sin wolf. Okay, please, be honest. I want you to address this scripture.
Yeah, I did.
I don't know.
No, you either did or didn't. There's no don't know.
I can't remember.
Well,
well,
it had to be willfully, so you have to know that.
Okay, well,
it's my view.
If I don't know about it, then I guess I do.
Let's go to Hebrews 6 a minute. Keep your finger in Hebrews 10. Verse 4. It is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted of the Word of God and of the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. Have any of you fallen away? Have any of you sinned willfully since you've become a believer? Let's put it that way, not today. This isn't a trick question. It's your understanding that I'm concerned with, not the meaning.
Okay, well, I get, you know, when you asked me that, I thought of specifically an instance where I wanted my own way today.
Just a minute. I'm not trying to put you off. I want you, by every one of your definitions, whatever it is, if you believe that you, and I hope to, I'm trying to make you nervous. If you believe that you have sinned willfully since you became a believer, is there anybody that hasn't sinned willfully? Let me put it that way. You have not sinned willfully since you became a believer.
Not according to my understanding of it. Am I perhaps in the wrong?
No, you're right.
This scripture better make you nervous. It says if you've sinned willfully, it's impossible to renew you unto repentance. Am I talking to the ceiling again tonight? If you haven't sinned willfully, then you're a liar. If you don't understand that you spend every day sinning willfully, you're lying. And therefore, you can't understand the sin offering. You're still seeing it as trespass. I'm not asking you trick questions. I'm trying to get a feel for the depth of your understanding. And you will continue to see sin as trespass.
If you think you haven't sinned.
If you haven't sinned.
Is this trespass? If we sin willfully, is that if we trespass willfully? Or are we talking about sin? Which are we talking about?
Again, I said, please,
understand.
Please.
Okay, in my understanding,
in your understanding,
this means if you trespass willfully.
Okay.
That's my understanding.
Okay, my question then is to you, because that's your understanding, have you trespassed willfully?
Yes.
Okay. Is there anybody that now doesn't think that they have that they are guilty of that scripture? That's what I'm trying to get an understanding of.
Well,
it makes you nervous when I put you on the spot. It makes John nervous, makes a lot of people nervous.
I was nervous before you put me on the spot.
Okay.
Just about the general, it's almost funny, maybe it was the custard, I don't know.
No, what's funny is the lack of understanding and the lack of apprehension that you are sin. I don't want to dance around the edges anymore. I want you to personalize these incredible scriptures that say, if you have sinned willfully, there remaineth no more offering. And if you can honestly say you haven't sinned willfully, you're in big trouble.
How can that be? I mean, it's just totally away from me, over my head.
What is over your head? The fact that, do you honestly believe that since the day you've become a believer, you haven't sinned willfully?
Well, what you were saying was according to what we understood about that scripture. And if what you said was that the trespasses, that we've all trespassed willfully, which is what I thought you were interpreting that, then my understanding was not that it was trespasses, but that it was sin in the sense of something that can only happen once. You know? And I haven't, you know, I haven't decided, you know, that I want to take back that exchange willfully.
I've
done it unconsciously.
I have. I wanted to leave 100 times. I wanted to make the offering of none effect 10,000 times. I want to make the offering of one effect of none effect right now. I just soon all of you left.
I just don't believe it.
You don't believe that?
No.
And you think, you don't think that I have wanted to leave?
I don't think that you're wanting to leave means that.
You don't?
Uh-uh. I think that's, what's a trespass then? If that's not something to do. Leaving or not leaving. I mean, I don't want to argue about it. I just want to know. I want to hear. And my heart's beating very fast.
Because it says, thinking you want to leave says, that all this is wrong, that it's not working, that, you know, that everything you've heard isn't really true. It's of no use. It's a waste of time.
Let me again say what my frustration. My frustration is I want each of you to know that you are without hope. That if, as long as you have continued thinking and trying to improve self and trying to get sit and trying to understand self, try to understand the scriptures, then you are walking in the lie that is manifested by the idea of self-betterment. And I'm not trying to get religious. I want to get gut level. And until you apprehend that you're not going to get any better, you're not going to understand anything, you're going to be a... Until you totally apprehend the fact that you are sin, and that you have done nothing but sin willfully, then you can't apprehend a sin offering. I'm not playing word definitions. I don't care what you think something means or not. I want to know what you feel in the gut. I want you to understand at the emotional level what I'm talking about. You can't understand the sin offering in your intellect. You can only understand the sin offering at the gut emotional level. And then apprehend it. And as you see the depth of your sin, then you run to the sin offering, and you see, then even you can find joy in the fact that that sin is true. And you will stop the lie of trying to for self-improvement.
Okay. Yeah, why did you...
I see that. I mean, that's what I'm feeling.
Is, I can see that everybody in here, were, when they were on the spot, and went, they went for the evasion. Sin is evading. It's changing. It's changing to get out from under. Like for me, I was not wanting to answer the question because it's like, you know, I might look bad or I might, you know, it's that's what I am. That's my essence. Is the chameleon, and that's what everybody in here was doing.
It's really freedom to see that there's not one thing in there.
Yeah, I want to say something that's going to confuse you because of what I just said. But I want you to come to the place where you no longer you've just now barely started to see that there was a difference between the trespass offering and the sin offering. Now I want you to come see that and come back to the point to see there's no difference between sin or trespass. To see that the trespass is the evidence of the sin. It isn't, you're not trying to make intellectual game playing of trying to escape one from the other.
But the axe has been laid to the root, though.
Yeah.
Why you can't? I can't get that with the axe being laid to the root together. Then,
with Jesus, it has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with Him. But you can't see. There's a scale over our eyes. As long as we think it's the lie of possibility thinking or the lie of self-improvement. And that scale keeps us from apprehending the sin offering. And therefore, if you can't apprehend that offering, you won't come to the place where you're eating at the table and the meal offering and the joy of fellowship. You'll have occasional glimpses when somebody throws you a bone and you're sucking the meat off the bone, but you won't know the joy of fellowship of sitting at the table at the altar of God. My only concern for you is that you would know that joy. You still believe that I'm trying to do you harm tonight? Certain of you are totally mistrusting of me tonight? Because I've confused you. You think you've arrived somewhere, right? And then some idiot comes along and tells you something that confuses you, and you think, oh my God, what in the hell am I doing here? I want you to see that by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Now, you may think I've gone through a circuitous route to get you to that point. But the only way that you can get to that point is to see that you are the chief of sinners. The evidence of being the chief of sinners from God's standpoint is your continual efforts to improve self. That doesn't wash in logic, that the effort to improve self would be the evidence of a proof of sinner. But from God's standpoint, it's the perfect evidence. Because it's a lie. You know, I can tell you till hell freezes over that you could have all the education in the world and you'd be miserable. But some of you think you can get educated and then you're going to get, or if you're going to get the kids educated, you're going to get this educated. I can tell you, you have all the money in the world and you'll be a rich idiot. So, but you still think, you still dream, you still scheme, you still plan how to get more money. The point that you must apprehend the freedom of abandonment of self. You must know by now that abandonment is the only route. You hear abandonment, you hear abandonment, you hear abandonment, but you can't abandon yourself. Don't you want to abandon yourself? The only way you can abandon yourself is to first see self correctly. And to see self correctly involves seeing that you are the chief of sinners, that you can do nothing but sin willfully, that you can do nothing but trespass willfully. Willfully is the operative word. Every act of your will is sin. But you don't see it. Because in 5 minutes you'll start being concerned about what you're going to do tomorrow. Or whether or not you even understand this. Chief of sinners can't apprehend anything. I'll go home and study what I'll do, then I'll understand. I want you to pray, to do whatever is necessary. My prayer for you is that you would see yourself as God sees you, in toto. It's hard, I know, for your minds to understand the idea of being concerned with self, with you or yours, as connected to the evidence that there's no apprehension of the sin offering. But that is the only evidence. To be concerned for you or yours is the evidence, the external evidence, that you haven't apprehended the sin offering. This isn't a light matter that I'm talking about. This is order of magnitude apprehension stuff. You must be tired of being concerned with you and yours. You must be tired with your constant attempts to change yourself. Aren't you wearied in all that? Don't tell me you don't do it. I know you too well. God is waiting. God is standing there with the treasures of all of heaven and earth ready to pour out on you. Where you never, ever again, once, have to be concerned with self, with you or yours. Never. Doesn't that sound appealing? You're married unto a perfect husband who's only sick and tired of your rebellion. It's his good pleasure to pour out all need, all health, all of the 17 names of Jehovah. But he wants you to apprehend these simple things. You say, this isn't simple. I'm confused. Well, it's your intelligence that's made it confused. This is the covenant that I will make with them. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law into their hearts and in their minds, and will I write them, and their sin and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where the forgiveness of these is, there is no more offering for sin. From God's standpoint, when you've sought to improve yourself, you're saying to God, that there's a further offering necessary. Understand? No, you don't understand.
I was thinking this, thinking about a behavioristic model. It's like if we were in a cage, a rat, if we were a rat in a cage, God is the experimenter, wants to teach us something, and he puts a little bar in the tray. Things they press on to get a reward. So he wants to train us to press this bar to get the reward. So what you're trying to do is you're telling us all that what we're missing by not pressing it, sitting in the middle of the cage and going this way. You're also trying to point out what we could get by pressing it. But we have so much intelligence.
Without faith, it's impossible to please God. The just shall live by his faith. Faith is impossible without the apprehension of the offerings. Otherwise, you'll just make it into a religious thing. You'll ascribe faith as a means of exchange to buy stuff. It's a new kind of currency. It's what modern religion preaches. Because you haven't apprehended this thing. Faith demands a second-by-second concept. That you abandon yourself to faith 24 hours a day. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint. In your minds, you have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise thou not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. Now, that sounds like a contradictory statement. How can you be without chastisement if all of you are partakers? It's because you don't endure in the chastisement, then you're without it. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much more rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised therein. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but rather let it be healed. It's my judgment that we're not going to do the afkhamen tonight. It'll really piss you off. My prayer is that God would show you what the sin offering is. It's just like the old days. Take it, big guy.